today. But hey, we're in our series that we're calling Ghosts of Christmas. If you've been with us the last 2 weeks, what we're doing is we're taking one of the ghosts from Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, and we are pairing it up with those ghosts that haunt us, those things that kind of torment us. And we're letting the Word of God kind of speak to that situation or that ghost or that haunting or that hurt, and letting God bring some words of hopefully challenge, but also encouragement and healing, and letting Him do that work deep in our life. Today, so this is our third Sunday. If you've been following through, that means our ghost today is the ghost of Christmas what? Ghost of Christmas present. Now, when I pulled up the ghost of Christmas present, not present, not like that thing, but right here, yeah. So they describe him, the ghost of Christmas present, this way. He said that he's described as a jolly giant, glorious to see, who carried a glowing torch in shape like a horn of plenty. He was clothed in one simple deep green robe bordered with white fur. Girded around his middle was an antique scabbard, but no sword was in it. And the ancient sheath was eaten up with rust. The ghost of Christmas present is really the personification of peace. It's all about peace. But then we're introduced to Scrooge, right? And Scrooge is the one who is the peace robber. The peace robber, the stress inducer, the anxiety attack, right? Waiting to happen. And so, but the ghost of Christmas present confronts Scrooge and takes him on a journey. But I wanted to show you just a quick little clip about the ghost of Christmas present, just to remind you of what his mission was. And our prayer, you're going to be encountering that today. And you'll have the same, hopefully, experience in your life today. So let's go ahead and roll. This is from a 1935 colorized version of it.
Come here. Come here and know me better, Scrooge. I am the ghost of Christmas present. Have you never seen the like of me before?
Never.
And have you never known my elder brothers, born these years before me?
I'm afraid I haven't. Have you had many brothers, Spirit?
A huge number. Some, 1,800.
A tremendous family to provide for. What are we going to do?
Walk into the world this Christmas night so that you can hear and see and feel Christmas in the world this night.
Did you say walk or fly?
Touch my robe.
Good morning and a merry, merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you.
These people, what are they doing?
The poor find it cheaper to bring their dinners to the baker to be cooked.
Now then, what are you stepping on?
What you I'm stepping on? Ha! I like that. Go on, up it.
I will not.
Why, you Mr. Bugger!
Here, let's make it up.
Our frightened, eh? I wouldn't touch your old hand. I wouldn't...
Oh, well, you're not such a bad sort after all, eh?
Thank you, and a Merry Christmas to you.
And the same to you.
What do you sprinkle from that horn that made them stop quarreling?
It's a spirit, 5 times distilled. The spirit of Christmas cheer, of love, of all that's good, of all that makes this time of year different from any other time.
Is there a peculiar flavor in what you sprinkle?
An excellent flavor.
Would it apply to any kind of dinner?
To a poor one most.
Why to a poor one most?
Because it needs it most.
Here, look where you're going, you big clumsy ox, you are.
I'll shove those words down your nasty little throat.
Stop shoving, will you? Stop it, I say, or I'll... Here we are being silly, aren't we now?
Like a couple of henfants. I say, I know a nice little pub where they sell hot rum and ginger.
We stopped that.
Yes, we did. Didn't we?
So the ghost of Christmas present, right? It's bringing peace, calming anxiety. And then we're introduced and he takes Scrooge on this journey. And then pretty soon Scrooge begins to realize that he's the butt of everybody's jokes, that he's the one who's been causing turmoil and stress and anxiety in people's lives. And then we're introduced when he comes to the Cratchit house And this is how Mrs. Cratchit describes Scrooge when they want to actually give him a toast. Says no to Scrooge. Odious, stingy, hard, and unfeeling. Scrooge was the ogre of the Cratchit family. The mention of his name cast a dark shadow on their Christmas party, which was not dispelled for a full 5 minutes. Right, ghosts. Woo! Let me ask you, how many of you have ever had like a Scrooge show up in your life and create stress and rob you of peace and the joy of the Christmas season? Anybody? You can go ahead and raise your hand. Yeah, okay. We got our work cut out for us today. I tell you, when you get to the Christmas season, isn't it amazing how the littlest things, though? I mean, this is supposed to be the season of joy and peace, and how the littlest things can just set you off. Anybody experience that? It's just crazy how this season, right, is a great magnifier, and the little things become big things, like in no time flat. You're having a conversation. I'm just going to use my phone for a second. You're having a conversation with somebody, right? And while you're having a conversation with somebody, they're on their phone doing this. Right? And does that sit well with you trying to have a conversation with them? Yeah. What do you want? You're like, really? Can you look up here at me right now? We have a lot to cover. Christmas is almost here. Put your phone away. Right? Anybody have that issue? Yeah. Those of you who actually use this thing on a regular basis, right? Maybe have like an Instagram account. You know how this goes. You may be there and you're like, I've got my friends. I'm following my friends. I'm liking all their stories, right? And then they look and they're like, they're not following you. And you're like, what? I liked everything and you just unliked me. I'm unliking everything. I'm unfollowing you. You ever see that? Yeah, just like, oh, it just sets you off. Or some of us, we don't use Instagram. We don't know what that means. Some of you are like, I don't even know what that is, Pastor Sean. Is that like a Greek word? No. But we text. How many here text? Text, right? And you text. You're like, okay, I'm going to send this text to somebody, and they're going to get back to me. Like immediately. We got a lot to cover. And it's like 24 hours later. And you're like, really? You're a 24-hour responder? Come on now. This is Christmas. Let's speed this up. You been there? You know what I'm talking about? Or how about this, you text, and you look on your phone, and they begin to reply, because you see the bubbles, boop, 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 boop. And then there's nothing. You're like, what? You just sent me, you read it, and you didn't respond at all? Oh, really? And you just kind of get all upset. You see how simple it is, but it's like during Christmas, it's like everything escalates. Or how many of you are having family over for Christmas meal? Anybody having family over or friends over for Christmas? Yeah, and some of you right now, you're probably thinking, oh, man, there's going to be that one person. You know, they always show up late, and they never bring anything. Anybody have those people in their family? And the only thing that they bring is Tupperware, right? They're like, oh, they're showing up because they're going to take the food. Right. You didn't bring anything, and now you want to help yourself? I don't think so. See how it just kind of escalates around the Christmas time, and you just get irritated. And then when you're there, and then people start to question even how you are raising your kids, and you're like, oh, don't go there, right? You've crossed the line, baby man. This is on. And what should be a time of peace and joy, it's like, really? Some of you I know here, it may not be any of those things, but it may be a health issue. There's a lot of sickness running around. And some of you have not been feeling well, and I know some have gone to doctors, and you've heard back that report, you know. You need to go to a specialist. And so stress, anxiety begins to well up inside you. Or some of you have somebody that you love or a parent, and they just haven't been acting right, and you went to the doctor, and you heard those words, dementia, and you're like, oh, this is going to be a lot different this year. And so you got these health issues. Or some of you, it may just be your schedule, right? You get this time of year, and it's just like so hectic. It's like, we got to go, 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 go. We got to go, 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 go. We got to shop for Christmas. We got to get all the food for Christmas. We still got to get all the decorations up. And it's just like, go, 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 go. Anybody have a hectic schedule? And you're just like, really? And you're just getting stressed out? It's okay. You're in church. You can raise your hand. Some of us, it may be financial. We may have some financial stress or anxiety. Maybe it's because we are unemployed. Maybe we lost our job. Or maybe we're underemployed and we just don't have the funds coming in. Or maybe it's just that good old-fashioned, you know what? I got caught up in the spirit of the season and I'm out there just charging it up. Woohoo, woohoo. Oh, my kids are going to love this. Yeah. And then it's all like, yeah, don't even go there. And then you begin to realize, oh, my word, January is going to come real fast. And you're like, how are we going to pay for this? And you begin to get hit with that stress, right? And so we have all of these senses of and avenues and channels of anxiety and stress. And before we go any further today, in your notes, if you pulled out, write for you, what is that? What is your ghost of Christmas present? My ghost of Christmas this year, the thing that's coming in to rob you of peace, what is that? What's your stress sore? What's your anxiety inducer today? What's putting you right on the edge? What is that? So you can take as much paper as you want, all right? So go ahead and write that down, because, man, if it wasn't any of those things, all you have to do is you look out there, right, and you think, man, if it's none of those things, Pastor Sean, maybe it's not me personally. I just look out at what's going on in our country, and I see the tension in our government. I see the unrest between political parties and the bickering that's happening. Look at the increase in sexual harassment. Look at the new intensity with racism. Look at what's going on globally and the nuclear tension between North Korea and the influence of Russia and all these things, right? And we're like, where's the peace? Where's the peace? So if you could just write that down. What is your ghost this year? What is it you're stressing over? What's bringing that? Because here's the thing. Here's the promise, right, that God made to every single one of us 2,700 years ago. God made a promise through the prophet Isaiah, and this is what God said. In fact, read this with me, all right? Isaiah 9:6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called a Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father." He'll be what?
Prince of Peace.
Prince of Peace. Listen, God's solution to whatever you're going through, it's not a program. It's not five steps. It's not even counseling. You know what it is? God's solution is Prince of Peace. It's a person. And God made a promise that one day he's going to send his Prince of Peace to every single one of us. You know, the cool thing about this word, Prince of Peace, this is a Hebrew phrase. You've heard me talk about this before, but I love this phrase. It is actually the Hebrew word, Sar Shalom. Sar Shalom. Sar simply means captain, lord, chief, general, ruler. We see it translated in history. We have Sar in Hebrew. In Latin, it becomes Caesar. In Russian, it's Tsar. And we see it in Germany as Kaiser. And it means the leader, the ruler, right? What is this prince, what is this ruler going to, how is it going to be described? By shalom. Now, shalom, we can simply oftentimes just translate it as peace. A lot of times we think of it as rest or tranquility. A lot of times when we think of peace, we think of it in terms of like the absence of conflict, don't we? If I could just get rid of that person, if I could just get rid of this situation, if we could just not do Christmas, bah humbug, everything would be better. Right? That's not the Hebrew understanding of peace. Shalom. It actually includes the understanding of wholeness or completeness. And when you talk about the shalom of God or the peace that God wants to have you to have, it's actually three elements that are kind of brought together. And the first in your notes, there's three elements, three types of peace within the shalom. And the first is this. It's that relational peace. It's the peace that you have with people. So that you can be with people and you realize, okay, I'm good. Doesn't matter what's happening to them, what they're saying, I'm still good. This is, the Bible puts it this way. This is the relational peace. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, do what? Live at peace with everyone. That's relational peace. Part of the shalom of God is you're going to have relational peace. The second element of that peace is, in fact, we read this last week in our Life Journal reading. You guys still following Life Journal readings? Anybody? Okay, good. Keep reading. Hebrews 12:14, make every effort to do what? live in peace with who? Everyone, and to be holy. Some of you are like, that's a pipe dream. It's not happening. Listen, with the shalom of God, it is possible to have that relational peace. The second element is emotional peace. Emotional peace. This is really the peace of God. This is that calmness that we think of usually within ourselves, within our own mind, our emotion. Colossians puts it this way. Colossians 3:15, read this with me. It says this, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. So listen, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. That's that emotional element. It's the ruling. In fact, the word rule only occurs one time in the New Testament, brabaneto. It's a Greek word, and it simply means to umpire. That God wants to place an umpire inside you that's going to make sure that everything is played fairly, within bounds, and you're going to be good inside. You have this emotional peace. Let the peace of Christ, let it rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace, the relational peace. This is the shalom of God. It's relational and it's emotional. How many of you, man, you're so busy and you're so tired, right? That when you lay down at night, it means your body just goes, boom. But you can't shut your mind off. And the mind's just whoop. And you're like, I just need to sleep. Yeah, I need to get away. I need to be able to shut down. Listen, you can't run from yourself. If you don't have the emotional peace, you could be on the beaches of Tahiti and still be stressing out, right? So this is the emotional side of the peace that God wants to bring. And then there's a third part, and that is the spiritual peace. This is peace with God. The Bible puts it this way in Romans chapter 5, therefore, in fact, read this with me, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace. Peace with whom?
God.
With God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you will never have the peace of God so you can be at peace with others if you have not received peace with God. Where the hostility and the walls that are separating you from God have been corrected. There's a gentleman, Cornelius Plantinga, I can't ever pronounce his name, but he talks about sin this way. He says sin is really the vandalism of God's shalom. Where what God wants for us is all these elements together, but the enemy comes, or because of the sin within us, all those are broken, and we are so separated within ourselves. It's been vandalized, and God wants to come and put that all back together. So you're complete and you're whole and you're experiencing peace with God, which frees you up emotionally, internally, to have the peace of God. So now I can be at peace with you. And it's not just the absence of conflict. It's an understanding that no matter what's going on around me, the whole world could be falling down around me. It could be falling apart. My private world could be falling apart. But God, because of his peace, the Prince of Peace, Sar Shalom, he's going to reign in me and over me. And it's like, I'm good. I'm confident. I'm calm. I'm at peace. This is God's desire for every single one of us to experience all three of these united into one. And so this was God's desire. He made that promise. This is like essential to the mission of the Messiah, the rescuer, the redeemer. He was going to come and be that Prince of Peace. And then we read the Christmas story. And the shepherds are out in the field, right? And the angel shows up. But the angel said to them, read this with me, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. Who is he?
Christ
the Lord, the ruler, the prince. And let's keep reading. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, praising God and saying,
glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.
Glory to God in the highest, and what on earth?
Peace.
Peace. The angels on that first Christmas made the announcement The prophet has promised, God has promised us that there's going to be a Prince of Peace is going to come. And the angels announced on the night of Jesus' birth that that Prince of Peace has come. Jesus is our Sar Shalom. Jesus is the one who comes and says, I'm going to reign in your life, I want to reign over your life. I'm going to be the one who's going to establish this peace with God where you know inside that you're not right with God. I'm going to make that so it's right. I'm going to remove those barriers. I am going to come and lead you, cover you. You're going to have my peace, and you're going to be able to stand strong no matter what life throws at you. Listen, as long as we're under the reign of the Prince of Peace, there's peace. In fact, it's not in your notes, but you may want to write this down. This, I think, is pretty good. You know where the Prince of Peace reigns? Peace reigns. Where the Prince of Peace reigns, peace reigns. As long as you're under the authority of Jesus Christ, our Sar Shalom, you will have peace. Peace with God, peace in your mind, peace in your heart, peace with other people. God will make it so. But if you step outside of that, no peace. You rebel against God. You try to do it on your own. You're going to be fractured. You're going to be broken. You're going to be in conflict. Anxiety is going to overwhelm you. Stress is going to just go off the chart. But if you step back underneath, the Prince of Peace reigns. Well, if God's just going to give me his peace like that, can I do whatever I want? No, not at all. Listen, if you're married and you commit infidelity, is God going to give you peace? No. You just violated what he wants you to do. You're outside of his authority and his reign. Can you have a knockdown, drag-out fight with your spouse and embarrass your kids and still experience the peace of God? No, you're out here. You need to get back under here and ask God to forgive you and to live under his authority, the Prince of Peace. Can you go out and just spin, and expect to experience peace? God, just give me peace. No. Get back under here. Realize there's a different way to live and experience the peace of God. Where the Prince of Peace reigns, peace reigns. The antidote to our anxiety and our stress is the Prince of Peace. It's Jesus, the Christ, the Prince of Peace. And he gives you a gift. John 14, 27, Jesus said this. He says, peace, read it with me. Peace I leave with you. Okay, that's not very confident. Okay, let's back this up. This is amazing if you let your mind get around it and you want to get under the Sar Shalom and experience the peace. This is Jesus speaking. What's he say? Peace I leave with you. Whose peace? My peace. Jesus' peace. I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. Man, you don't have to earn it. God says, I'm giving it to you as a gift. And it's going to be transformative. It's going to change your outlook. You're going to have that peace with God, the peace of God. I'm going to be at peace with people. My mind is going to be at ease no matter what happens around me. You're like, I don't know. Can that actually be possible? Yeah, God can make it happen. Old Testament, Proverbs 16:7. Listen, when a man's ways please the Lord, when he's living under the authority of the Prince of Peace, what's God going to do? He makes even his, who? Enemies. You mean that person who's always harassing me, who is always belittling me, who doesn't believe in me, who is my enemy, that person who hates me? He makes even his enemies to be at what? Peace with him. Man, you live under the Prince of Peace. And God does this incredible thing. He lets his peace reign over you. And he will even affect the life of the people around you because he wants you to experience his shalom, his peace. Some of you are like, well, I don't know if that would describe me. Listen, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ and peace is not describing you, that should be a red flag, right? Whoa, time out. Something's not right. Because every follower of Jesus Christ should experience the peace of God. So how do we experience that peace? What are some of the keys? How do we move into that? It's real simple. Let me give you the first key in your notes. three keys for experiencing God's peace. First, you have to invite Jesus to be your Prince of Peace. You have to invite Jesus to be your Prince of Peace. If you're out here and life is chaotic and there's stress and you're overwhelmed with anxiety, get under the reign of Jesus Christ, the Tsar Shalom. And you'd invite him to do that. Listen, these are the things that we've read. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says, Ephesians 2:14, for he himself, this is Jesus Christ, is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier to the dividing wall of hostility. There was a time where you were separated from God, and you and God were distinct. You were enemies. You were at war with one another. But God, seeing that, comes in the person of Jesus Christ, tears down that wall of hostility, and reunites us. We have to invite him to be our Prince of Peace. He's done the work. We need to invite him. We've read about this already. Romans 5:1. Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. You have to invite Jesus to be your Tsar Shalom. Let him be your Prince of Peace. Here's another great one. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Read this with me. Now may the Lord of...
peace.
The Lord of what?
Peace.
Isn't that great? May the Lord of peace himself give you... Woo! So the Lord of peace wants to give you what?
Peace.
Peace. When?
At all times
and in every way. How awesome is that? You want to experience the Prince of Peace, the Tsar Shalom. Invite him to be that. And he will bring his peace to you in every way, in every circumstance. It's amazing. Now, how do you do that? I'll tell you what, it's so simple. It's hard to invite Jesus Christ to be your Prince of Peace. Because what he's asking you to do is to acknowledge that you're part of the problem. That there's a tendency to say, okay, you want to live under my reign? Great, but here's the problem. Whoop! You continue to run over here. And you continue to live outside of my will. You continue to fight against me. There's this natural bent in every single one of us. Nobody has to be taught how to sin. It just naturally happens. We're all selfish and self-absorbed. And a lot of the things that are destroying our peace are self-inflicted. And what God says, I want you to own that. Take responsibility. You're the one who is messing things up. So you go before God and you confess that. And confession simply means to say the same thing. God, you're right. I'm making a mess of things. And if I continue to go down this path, it's only going to get worse. And so God, I'm acknowledging that I've got a problem. The Bible says that that's sin. I'm acknowledging that I'm a sinner. And I'm going to come before you and ask you to forgive me of that sin and place me under your authority so that you may reign over me. That's what I'm asking you to do. It's really simple, but it's so simple it's hard because it takes humility. And yet we can invite Jesus to be our Prince of Peace this Christmas. Second key is this. Not only invite Jesus to be your Prince of Peace, but you have to do this. Trust God with your situation. Trust him. There's a tendency, because living in our flesh and in this brokenness, for us to be under the Prince of Peace and then go, whoop, because we're stressed out, and I'm going to try to fix it. And it's not working. And we're like, God, would you bring your peace? And he's like, would you get back over here? Right? And so we got to get back over there. We got to trust him. And so the Bible puts it this way. Trust God with your circumstance, your situation. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Let's read this together. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Let's pause right there. So what are we supposed to do? Don't be anxious about anything, right? But in everything. Take your everything, your nothing, your all, whatever it is, and you do what? You present it before God. And what's the result? Verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Whatever it is that's stressing you out, whatever it is that has you anxious, lift it to him in prayer. Say, I'm going to put myself back under your leadership, and I'm giving it to you, Lord. Please, would you remove this stress? Bring your peace. Let it reign over me this Christmas. Listen, the guys who were closest to Jesus, his 12 disciples, they lived with the Sar Shalom. They lived with the Prince of Peace. But even they had a hard time trusting Jesus, right? There's a classic story, Luke chapter 8. They're out on the Sea of Galilee, right? And the storm starts to churn, and the waves are sloshing over the side of the boat, and they're all getting stressed out. Remember the story in Luke chapter 8? And when they're getting all stressed out, where's Jesus? Yeah, sleeping. I don't know if Jesus snored, but he's sleeping. And they come unglued in their stress. And remember what they said? The disciples went and they woke Jesus up, saying, no, I can see where you're going already. No. The storm is raging. The wind is loud. It's like not just master, exactly. They got to be yelling it. So yell it, right? Master, we're going to drown! ! And Jesus got up, and what did he do? Rebuked the wind and the raging waters, and the storm did what? Boom. And all was calm. And then Jesus turns to his disciples. And he didn't say, I got you, did he? Ah, thanks for coming to me. And we got, no, he said, hey, what? Where's your faith? I'm in the boat with you. I'm reigning over you. No pun intended with the storm. But I'm reigning over you, right? Do you trust me? Do you trust that I will take care of you and provide for you? And some of us are that way right now. God, where are you? And God's like, I'm right here. Just come back over here. Present your requests to me and invite my peace to reign over you. And the disciples had to learn that. Third key. First one. Invite Jesus to be your Prince of Peace. Second one is simply this, trust God with your situation. And the third is you need to take the next practical step immediately. You call out to God, God may speak to you. And he may say, okay, you're outside of my reign, get under my reign. He may be asking you something else, but you got to take that next practical step immediately. Paul finishes his thought in Philippians chapter 4 this way, in verse 9. He says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or you've seen in me, do what? Put it into practice. You got to put it into practice. And when you put it into practice, what's going to happen? And the God of peace will what? Be with you. Whatever you've learned, whatever you've heard, it's not enough just to hear it. It's not enough to sit in these rows on a Sunday morning and say, oh, that was good, Pastor Sean. No. Put it into practice. And when you do, the God of peace will be with you. Listen, if I gave you $1 million... and you took that $1 million, I don't know where I'd get it, so this is all hypothetical, all right? But if I gave you $1 million, you're like, whoa. And you took that $1 million home, and you put it under your mattress. Did that money do you any good? No. I mean, would it put food on your table? Did it pay off your bills? Did it bring security for your... No, none of that. You got to take what has been given and put it to use. And it's going to be the same way. God wants to give you his peace, but until you take that next practical step and put it into action, how is he going to reign over you? Especially if you're still out here. And he's asking you to get under here. So what I want to do with the time we have left is I want to just talk about maybe two word statements that maybe you could offer up. These are ways that are going to help you make that request to God. And maybe these might be the next practical step for you. Yeah, I'm inviting Jesus to be my Prince of Peace. I'm going to trust him in my situation. And this is how I'm going to do it. So I want to give you just a series of two words, statements. And the first may be this. We get to this time of year. No, take it back. Go back. I don't want that up there yet. Let's hold off on that. Yeah, some of you are like, oh, I got those. This is where the first one is this, because we're talking Christmas, right? And it seems like Christmas is that magnifier. And we laughed at the beginning about relationships and the tension and the stress they may create. But some of you may be here, and you're not experiencing that peace. It's just the opposite. There's a rift in a relationship. And your heart's throbbing this Christmas. Or you're becoming stressed and you're anxious. It's even causing a sickness in your physical body because you're anticipating what may or may not happen over the Christmas holiday. And maybe the two words that God is asking you to humbly and sincerely say is just simply this: I'm sorry. Maybe he's asking you to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I said. I'm sorry for how I acted. I'm sorry for being a jerk. I'm sorry. I'm not asking you to say you're sorry back to me. I'm just letting you know this is where I am because the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, has come into my life, and I want to get this corrected. And so some of you, when you leave here today, you may have to stop by a friend's house. You may have to stop by somebody in this church. You may have to pick up the phone and say, hey, can we reconcile this? I am sorry. I'm sorry that it is where it is. And I'd like to make it right. And for some of you, that may be it. Remember what we read earlier? As far as it depends on you, try to live at peace with everyone. And if you're under the Sar Shalom, and God's talking to you to say, you need to go say you're sorry, God will give you the grace, the ability to be able to do that. And I tell you, when you humbly and sincerely go before somebody, I've seen relationships change. I've seen marriages saved just by somebody bending the knee and saying, I'm sorry. Maybe that's what God's putting on your heart. Maybe it's not a relational rift that you're experiencing, though. Maybe you're here today and you have received a bad medical report and you're stressed out. Let me just encourage you to, as frequently and unashamedly as you need to, just pray these two words: heal me. Heal me. God, would you heal me? Maybe by a touch of your divine hand, would you heal me? Or use the medical professionals, but Lord, would you bring healing into my life? Heal me. Maybe some of you, you look at Christmas and it's going to be a heavy Christmas because there's going to be an empty place around the table. You're wanting to have somebody there, but maybe it's because of a death. Or maybe it's a divorce. Or maybe it's just distance. And you're going to be alone this Christmas. And maybe what God is asking you to pray this morning is simply, Lord, would you comfort me? Would you comfort me? Would you minister in a deep way and fill this void in a way that only you can do? Would you comfort me this Christmas? Would you do that? Some of you, you're here and you got a huge decision to make. And you need wisdom, and you got a big decision that's on the horizon. All you can do is ask God, God, would you guide me? God, would you guide me? Maybe you're here, and you've done something stupid, and you're like, God, would you forgive me? I think what I've been praying is more this way. It's like, still two words, but instead of forgiving, it's like, Lord, would you cleanse me? Would you just wash me from head to toe? It's amazing. When you go before God humbly and sincerely and you ask him to forgive you or cleanse you, it's amazing how he does that. And the guilt and the shame just falls away. And maybe that's what he's asking you this Christmas. You know, would you pray those words? Forgive me or cleanse me? Maybe you're here and you're racked with so much guilt because you're back into this really self-destructive cycle. Where your eating is out of control, or your drinking is out of control, or your schedules are out of control, or whatever it is, you put it in the blank. And it's like, if you could have fixed it in your own ability, you would have by now, but you can't. And you need the power of God to be able to break into your life, to bring this change. And so maybe the prayer you need to pray today is, God, would you help me? God, would you help me? Some of you may be here, and the two words you have to say, and it may sound weird, but maybe the words that you have to say are just simply this: God, would you save me? Save me. I know some of you, it's like, man, that word saving has so much baggage, I have a hard time using that word. But listen, it's a great word. To be saved means to be rescued, to be lifted up from. I mean, imagine if you were in the path of the Thomas fire. and the smoke is all around you, and all of a sudden you hear the whir of a helicopter, and here's a ladder. Wouldn't you want to grab that ladder and let the helicopter lift you out of there? Isn't that, that's all that saving is. It is God who is coming and he's lifting you up and he's removing you from the danger and the fire and the destruction that you're on. And he offers it to you freely. And the amazing thing is that when you cry out and you say, God, would you save me? And you own your part in bringing that lack of peace and the destruction into your life. When you own that and you cry out, God, would you save me? God is so good about doing that. And he comes and he lifts you up. And the Bible says he forgives you your sin. And he makes you clean. And he moves you and he puts you into a new family. You've been adopted into a brand new family with a new name, a new identity. And he places his covering over you. And so you can live under the Sar Shalom. And I know, talking with a lot of you, and from my own experience, it's amazing to be in this relationship with the living God, who hears you when you cry on him, who walks with you, who actually speaks with you, who gives you counsel and guidance and provides for you. But it all starts with just crying out, God, save me. Because the path I'm on is not going to end well. And maybe that's where you are today. So now you can put that list back up, James. I'm going to give this as a Christmas gift to you as we kind of focus on this last week before Christmas. Maybe what you need to do, and we're just going to be quiet for a few minutes. I want you to look back at that list and say, which one of these two words is God prompting you to pray today? And you're not doing it because we're forcing you. Nobody around you cares. It's not about the person next to you. It's not about the person you came with. It's between you and God. Jesus wants to be your Sar Shalom. He wants to reign over you with his peace. But some of us have to take that step and we have to ask him. So maybe it's saying, I'm sorry. Maybe it's help me. Maybe it's heal me. Maybe it's comfort me. Forgive or cleanse me. Guide me. Save me. What is it that God may be putting on your heart that he's inviting you to cry out to him by way of prayer and petition so that the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, can guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus? Which is it? So I'm just going to invite us to bow our heads and close our eyes and just spend a couple minutes in the silence and just talk with God.